Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's so good to be with you on Wonderful Wednesday. This is Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. You know, as we said, it's hump day, Wonderful Wednesday, hump day, however you want to call it. We're excited to be able to see a middle of the week again because God has been good to allow us to come this far. So we got Talking Sports Plus, the voice of the historical black college and colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. We're so excited to be here. And as the host, I like to make sure I share some other information. You know, you can email the show at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Tweet the show at talkingsportsplus with the number one, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrow with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards, number seven, at Coach _ L _ Smith, and the coach is with a K, not with a C. Now, also, if you want to listen to the show by web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com, the Smith Way Production. And some people tell me, slow it down a little bit, Doc. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/ the Smith Way Production. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. So give us a call, and when you call, and if you just want to listen to the show, awesome, awesome, awesome. If you just have something, some questions or some concern, press 1 and I'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll ask you to identify yourself and your location. All right, let me introduce a very important individual, and I don't have the full team joining me as of now, but I know it's coming because I know one of them won't join us about 8:30, but I have two of them here, and I'll always be glad to have each and every one of my team members here. But when I have two, that gives us the same amount of explosiveness. We bring you a dynamic conversation. We're going to bring you energetic conversation. We're going to bring it all to you. So I'm ready to introduce our first two, but I will mention our other individuals that's not here but soon to be on the show. This young lady is a lady of the show. She's been fighting and struggling with a rehab, but she said, I'm going to be on the show. I'm not missing no more show. She's our millennial and the lady of the hour who brings strong conversation, none other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back on the show. I'm ready to go ahead and get tonight started. There's a lot of good things you need to be talking about, and I can't wait to go ahead and talk about them.
Lauren, we're glad to have you here, and I've been telling them each week where you're fighting through that rehab, but, you know, as you go each day, you have a brighter day because you get stronger and stronger. So we're glad to have you back, Lauren, and we're going to keep on grinding, okay? All right, our next co-host. He's known as the Dunn King of Entertainment. He's the head and the conductor of the E-Train. He hails, expand all the way down to the Florida lines by up and those areas up to Montgomery, over to Troy, then down to Dothan. You want to draw it in, you can put it in. None other than our radio personality, Darryl E-Train Elliott. How you doing, Darryl?
Hey, Coach. Glad to be on the show. Hello, Lauren. Long time no here. Ready to talk sports.
Awesome. Awesome. Good to have you, Darryl. Good to have you, Darryl. Now, our other two co-hosts, I know they're on their way because they text me and let me know. You have young man Hale out of Huntsville, Alabama, Meridianville, actuality. Coaches in Huntsville Public Schools as a middle school coach. And he's the one that had that famous slogan, "Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun." And I guess he had the gun a while. He won 6 out of 7 city championships in the girls, 2 boys, and 1 football. So we are always proud to have who we named the king. That's Coach Tremaine Edwards. And last but not least, our good friend, frat brother to all of us, friend and always be confidant. He's known for his high school expertise. We call him Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth, and he'll be joining us at that 8:30 hour. So we have an awesome team. I'm glad to have each and every one of y'all. So we're going to get this thing started. Now, again, the 347-857-4192. So we're going to make sure we do what we can do. Make it do what it do. All right, our title for the show tonight, team, is Championship Week. If you've been watching television, you've been listening to these scores, you're getting ready for the playoff. March Madness. Can't have March Madness unless you have a Championship Week. And it's Championship Week. Who's in and who's out? And we're going to start off with looking at our historical black colleges and universities storyline. And we want to talk about the SWAC, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference, and the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. We're going to do a roundup. And I'm going to start off kind of giving some scores, and I just want our team, if you have your scores you have or whatever thoughts, we want you to add to that roundup. And we're going to start off with the MEAC. Now, let me explain something before we get started with how the tournament is set up. In the MEAC, their criteria is that everybody get a chance to play. Top 4 teams have a bye, and other teams play till you get there. So they started the games last night, and we have some results for the men and the women. On the women's side for the MEAC, you have the North Carolina Central University winning 80 over Delaware State 64, led by Paulina Affery, 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 assists. Savannah State was the other team that played last night, but they lost to South Carolina State 62-53. South Carolina State was led by Taylor Brown, 17 points, 12 rebounds, and 2 assists. So, I mean, they advanced to play on tonight. Well, yeah, tonight. In the MEAC men's, you have South Carolina State men 63, Maryland Eastern Shore men 54, and South Carolina State was led by Applewhite with 10 points and 12 rebounds. Coffin State 81, Morgan State 71. They was led by D. Clayton with 23 points. Those are the results, so they'll vault into just what you said, quarterfinals. thing tonight until they can get to the championship on Saturday. The SWAC right quick. We're going to look at the SWAC, but you have any thoughts? I don't want the team to sit here. I'm going to give information, but you have any thoughts in regards to the SWAC team that played last night, and then we're going to kind of go from there and kind of set up our semifinals and our championship game. Team member, what do you have in regards to the SWAC?
Well, I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
Arizona State pulled out what some people think is an upset and beat Jackson State last night, which causes them to have to play Texas Southern on Friday. I had the pleasure of actually being at the Texas Southern Alabama State game here in Montgomery, and I can tell you right now, that's going to be a battle for Alabama State Friday in Birmingham. That's going to probably – they can beat Texas Southern. I have no doubt they can win the rest of the tournament. Texas Southern is the best team in the SWAC, in my opinion. They have a guy transferred from Auburn named Trayvon Reed, and he's dunking and blocking anything that comes down their way. So I was really surprised by them beating Jackson State on the women's side. Jackson State beat Alabama State's women, which knocked them out of the SWAC tournament, which means they are no longer in contention for NCAA bid. So Alabama State, great season. In my opinion, Alabama State women, they were kind of young. They had a lot of new faces out there. So next year, I think if these faces can stay around, I think they'll be at least a 3 seed coming into the season, a ranked number 3 coming into the season next year. But Alabama State men, they have a mighty big task on their hands Friday with Texas Southern being, with I think they're 20-12. They have a
mm-hmm.
pretty tough load coming through. So I'm really excited to see the end result for that game right there.
They have been working together. Alabama State University has been working together, the basketball team, and I think their focus is at an all-time high. They're finally, to me, just finally focusing. And I have to agree with Lauren. They have a tall tale to tell, but I think they are poised and in the right element to beat Texas. So I got kudos for them. I think Lauren is right again. 3 seed next year for the girls, and spot on. But again, the men, I think if they can just keep their focus and concentrate and make the right plays out there on that basketball court, they have an opportunity to win this tournament. Back to you, Doug.
And to add with that, I think one of the biggest things that happened to ASU, because if you remember with the standings, at one time ASU was number 2 behind Prairie View, ranked in there, and kind of hit a snag. And it was toward the end. They lost 4 straight games. They lost 2 at home, which was Prairie View and Texas Southern. And then they came back and lost on the road to Grambling and Jackson State. And instead of them being hosting a game. But let me kind of talk about that for a second. Then I'm going to get back and give you the results of those games last night. Coach Smith and Daryl E. shared, our E-Train man, shared it with, if you don't mind me calling you that. He shared it with us that ASU in the SWAC, you have 8 teams out of the 10 selected, the top 18. And they play the 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5. So Alabama State, actually, as they say, lost 4 games at the end that they dropped from 2nd to 3rd to 6th. So they end up playing that team that propelled, that they beat. See, it's hard to beat a team back-to-back within a week's time. And that's what happened because, if I'm not mistaken, I think they played Grambling on Tuesday and Jackson State I'm talking about Grambling on Thursday and Jackson State on Saturday, and come back had to play Jackson State again. And both of those games was in Jackson, and Alabama State was able to beat them. I as well as I can speak as Daryl, as well as Lauren spoke, you know, that men's team got after them. They was up most of the game, 15 to 18 points most of the game. And it may have been they were so angry that they end up losing their opportunity to host a game and they had to go on the road. So they got a tall task coming up Saturday. But just to kind of give you some results from the SWAC, Prairie View, who was the number 1 ranked team that won the regular season championship, was led by Devontae Patterson with 25 points. Texas Southern was 80 and Southern was 70, led by Jay Cone with 16 points. Grambling 59. Arkansas Pine Bluffs 52, led by Devontae Jackson. And then ASU pulled that upset up 58-49, which I don't feel like was upset. I think they could have played and could have been in a position to host and win the ball game. Jay Ross led with 14 points and 6 rebounds, 1 assist. That's the SWAC. So this is the standing, and this is how it's going to be on Friday starting at 12 o'clock. And this is going to be – I'm going to talk about the men division 2:30 game on Friday. But it'll be Prairie View versus Grambling at 6 o'clock. And then we will have Texas Southern versus Alabama State at 8 o'clock at Bill Harris Arena in Birmingham, Alabama, over there in Fair Park. So you can check the game out. That's the boys' side, men's side of the division. Again, Prairie View versus Grambling at 6 o'clock, Alabama State versus Texas Southern at 8:30. And on the women's side, the women, Grambling, before we go to telling that, we had some serious controversy. That was a brawl between Texas Southern and Grambling. Actually, it was trying to determine who was going to be regular season champion at last game for the regular regular season title. And they had a brawl, clearing bitches, and they was fighting. So they end up had to forfeit. Both teams had to have a double forfeit. So that changed the seeding from the start. So to the point, besides that, several players were suspended as well for both teams, for the girl on the women's side. So some of the results you hear here where they were dominant throughout the year, they was playing without several. And that's the rest of the season. Those players were suspended for the rest of the season. And actually Texas Southern had withdrew from it, but I think they worked it out where they came, where they had a roster of 7 players. And they end up losing. So this is the results of the SWAC for the women. Grambling 72, Texas Southern 61, Prairie View 69, Alabama A&M 56, Jackson State 75, Alabama State 59, Southern 51, and Mississippi Valley 44. So that's the result. So the seeding is you got Grambling playing Jackson State on at 12 o'clock, then you have Prairie View playing Southern at 2:30 in Birmingham. So the cost of each section would be 12 and 2:30 is $13. And for 6 and 8:30 will be $13. So it's $26 for the whole day. Then the championship will be played on Saturday at 1:30 and then at 5. So you have an exciting weekend coming up in Birmingham, as well as you will have at Norfolk, Virginia. So it's going to be exciting in Norfolk as well, but they have a little while to go before they get to their champion. But that's the SWAC. So we applaud each one of those teams. That was some coaches' corners here. Should the Lakers consider trading LeBron? And I want y'all to speak as fast as you can. Should the Lakers consider trading LeBron with all this craziness this year? Tell me your thoughts. Tell me how you feel in regards to that.
I tell you what, Doc. Think about the Lakers and the Boston Celtics games in the struggling Los Angeles Lakers. They need to consider every option for improving this personnel. And trading a 4-time MVP first-year Laker should be at least on the table. And I tell you this, they have to rebuild the roster. And to me, it would be a good trade for like an Anthony Davis. Or at least need to explore trading LeBron and getting as much as they can for it. Now, that's my little 20 cents on that. Back to you, Doc.
It's awesome, 20 cents.
Okay, so when we talk about trading for LeBron, you basically have to ask, what do I want for LeBron? Now, if you trade LeBron, that's given the notion that, hey, we're going to stay young, we're going to keep building, we're going to bring somebody in here that likes to build. That's that notion. But you also have to say, do we want to win now or do we want to win later? It's a lot of if you do this, then this has to happen. If you do that, then that has to happen. So earlier in the week, I was for trading LeBron. But at this point, you're saying, where are you going to trade him to and what value could you possibly get for him? To trade him for Anthony Davis is not there. It's not a smart trade. I would never do that. Unless you trade him, do a blockbuster trade for 3 or 4 guys to get them to L.A. But even if you trade for 3 or 4 guys, you have to trade others away too. So trading for 3 or 4 other guys, that means you're going to have to trade Brandon Ingram, which I have no problem with. You're going to have to trade Kuzma. which I don't think is smart. You're going to have to trade Ball, which I don't think is smart. So I'm not for trading LeBron now because I see more in depth of what that could actually cause. And the Lakers are trying to win right now, and their best option is to win right now with LeBron, even though people, it's been said that people don't want to play with LeBron. Now, if that becomes a big old fiasco, then I don't know what Magic Johnson's going to do. But right now, it's just looking like they're just trying to make it through the rest of the season and hopefully get some free agents, which I don't think they'll get. So I think they'll be young again, but I think next year will be a way better year. That's all I had.
Okay. And I'm glad you brought that up, Lauren. That was on the table. It was mentioned by one of the talking head and pundits during the game about possibly trading LeBron. But truly, you didn't bring LeBron there knowing you didn't have those players to trade him because it didn't go like you wanted to go this year. I would feel comfortable with them putting people around LeBron. Now, we can say what we want about those young players. They're young, but some of them are two and three years in the league. It wasn't about their play. It's all about their maturity. And we have to understand you have 20 and 21-year-old players and 22-year-old players over there with other teams, and they're performing at a high level. So is it truly was this a problem from the beginning, and maybe by this trade talk came up or when LeBron got hurt, you start really seeing what those players was capable of doing and their worth. And one of the things about it, are you thinking going to be worth more next year? Or the following year? So we have a situation that I think the Lakers going to have to make their mind up. Some of them going to leave. I can tell you that now. A couple of those players are going to leave whether you want them to stay or not. Is getting the best deal for Brandon Ingram, because Brandon Ingram does not fit what they need to do with LeBron. And that's my opinion in regards to that, not expertise. He doesn't fit. Because he had to have the ball in his hand, and LeBron had to have the ball in the hand. And both of them can't be on the floor with the ball because he ain't got but one ball. I personally feel that Ball will probably be the next person go. And I'm going to kind of put this out. I want y'all to respond. Everybody think that all of these individuals that's out there as free agents, that if the Lakers don't get them, the ones, the Kevin Durant, one of the Splash Brothers, Thompson, or the several other players, Kawhi Leonard. I'm thinking something is about to happen, and I want y'all to think about this and respond to it. I feel that today something happened was important. It had nothing to do with football or basketball. That player for the Golden State Warriors that created all so much drama, who is that? Draymond Green. He signed with Clutch Sports today. I'm thinking now, because he's no longer going to be with Golden State next year, I'm thinking that's going to be one. He's not that mega player, but he's that player in the post they might have to use. And then a possibility they can bring a guard in there like a Kemba Walker in there to put along with a Kyle Kuzma, put along with, which I don't know why they traded the big white kid, the foreign kid, but they did trade him and put him in there. Because the biggest thing I see by the Lakers, and if y'all watch them, I want y'all to respond to this. When the five starters go off the floor, they can have a 10-point lead and go to crap with them other players coming. I don't know whether you blame that on coaching. I always had a problem with the NBA when everybody has to play. I want everybody to play, but you had to, you know, I watched Boston the other night. I saw times when they made sure it was never just five reserves on the floor. But I see a lot of times the Lakers have five reserves on the floor. And that got to be coaching. That's like you got to please everybody to play. And my point is you need to make sure when you're coming out, you might take out two of them and migrate them in, then you rotate in, then you might need to get LeBron out to get him. But you got to keep firepower on the floor. They have some firepower, but they just don't have enough now. And I think if they start bringing in some other players, I won't say Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving already showed he don't want to be with LeBron. He want to be his own team. So he's out. But some other players there. And then I think in 2020, when he become a fair Anthony Davis become a free agent, he can pick the team he want to go with. Tell me your thoughts on that team.
I'll go ahead. And
while we All right, hold it, Lord. While we thinking, Lord, hold on a second. Hold your thought, Lord. We have now the King. He's with us. That's Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Trey?
Doing good. Glad I slipped up in here, Dr. Smith. I'm in here. Go ahead, Lauren. We ready.
Go ahead on, Lauren. There you go. Go ahead on, Lauren.
Okay, so Draymond Green signing with Clutch Sports. I don't think Draymond Green is going to be your scorer, and I think LeBron needs somebody else to score. Draymond Green cannot shoot. So for him to come, I think it'll just be a defensive purpose. But LeBron's going to need a scorer. I don't think he's going to get Kawhi. I don't think he's going to get Clay. Even if Draymond Green leaves, I think that'll free up some money for Kevin Durant to stay. Kevin Durant and LeBron will probably not go well together because both of them need the ball in their hands every night. So that probably won't go. Kemba Walker, I think you could bring Kemba Walker in and leave Lonzo for the second unit because a lot of people don't like Lonzo, but I love him because he distributes the ball and he's not selfish. At times that hurts him, but at times it also helps. I think you leave Lonzo and you bring in Kemba, and you get, like, little guys to plug in. When they signed Lance Stevenson this offseason, I thought it was the worst signing they could have ever done. Lance Stevenson is not going to give you 20 points a night, which you're going to need off that second unit at least. He's not going to give you points. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, don't know why they signed him back. He's a streaky shooter. Josh Hart should really be getting more minutes. Now, with the minute thing, I think Luke Walton is trying to please everybody, and this is what I think happened. When they signed him, they said, all y'all going to play. No, I'm going to see where all of them weren't going to play. That was the dumbest thing they could have done was sign all those kids, all those guys that want to play. I don't think that was smart. But 2020 is going to be a very trying year. If they don't get who they want in 2020, I really believe LeBron, either he's going to retire or he's going to ask for a trade because he can't go 2 years of not winning. That's not a good look for LeBron, and it's not a good look for LeBron's brand.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Trey, you about to jump in there?
Yes, sir. Dr. Smith, I'm going to say this, man. Being a Laker fan, you know, this right here hurt me, man, because I thought we had enough to make the playoffs. But looking forward, I don't want a Draymond. I don't think Draymond can help us. Draymond, we need a guy that can score. As we seeing, LeBron doesn't have the tiger in him. He don't have the eye of the tiger. We can't get in the buckets. I would take a Clay. I will take a KD. I take these guys. But as of right now, I don't think Draymond, even though he signed with Clutch, I don't think that would be a good fit for us. We can get with Draymond, you know, even though he's the backbone of the team. We don't need a backbone of the team. We need somebody that can put the ball in the bucket. And as you're seeing now with Draymond, he's turned into a mediocre player with Big Cuz there. So I don't know about that free agent look, and I hope he just signed with Clutch just to get some because they the best, you know, agents that are in the league. But I want Clay. I need somebody that can fill it up, that can give you a 40-point game every other night.
But let me throw this out at you, Trey. We have to think. I guess I was going beyond not even worry about signing those people because that's what the punters and talking head and they ain't talking about you going to be capable because they said they will not give up a Splash Brother. They don't care if Durant leave, the other player. I'm talking about with Golden State because they can build a team around a Splash Brother. So we got to take them out of the equation, all of those. So I'm saying put in somebody that will fit with LeBron on the floor. Now, we may not agree with Draymond as a scorer, but what one of the things the Lakers are missing is good defense and toughness. That's one of the biggest things. And I think that's what – and plus he won't cost that much money. That's what we got to remember because they're going to have the room to sign one super player. So my point is bring him in, and that will give you that toughness down under the basket. You ain't looking for him to score. He going to score a whole lot of points. You got to bring somebody. We suggested, I don't know what you heard, maybe Kemba Walker. We got to get beyond those people that's listed out there because they're not going to want to play with LeBron. But you got to get somebody that's going to fit with LeBron who hounds the ball all the time but still can fill it up with them threes and fill it up and hound the ball as well. So that's what I'm considering. Klay Thompson, I don't think you're going to be able to get him. So let's move beyond those players and see what other free agents out there are going to help and be able to get the Lakers. Because let's be realistic, Trey, with the Lakers, when LeBron got hurt, the Lakers was in good shape. When he got hurt, you really found out what these players was and how they coached, was being coached, how they was. That's when they started falling apart. Because I even watched basketball, which I didn't used to do. And you know it, Trey, until it got to the end. I was beginning, but when I started seeing what was happening, even when the trade came up, those players were not performing. You showed me. When you showed me, I believe you. So that's why I'm saying they got to plan beyond some of those players being now. If Kuzma's going to be around, if he's going to be, he'll be one to help. We keep him around. Ingram can't be on the team with LeBron because he got to handle the ball. So you got to move on. And if you're going to bring your point guard in there, I don't see that much for what his name as well. So I'm just saying these young players showed us that they didn't, and the coach didn't show that he coached at the level he could have coached because it went out. LeBron went out. But you got to put it together as a coach. That's just my thought on that. We can talk about that in a few more seconds, and we want to get to this draft, and we want to get to some blockbusters signing yesterday and today. Any thoughts?
You got it, Dr. Smith. You touched everything. Like I said, I agree totally with you. With Brandon Ingram, he does dribble the ball more than James Harden. He takes too many dribbles to get into his threat offensively. It's going to be a puzzle, man. I don't know what coach will fit in well, but like I told you last week, what I was telling you and Coach Stallworth, I think the problem with the Lakers was their scheme, Dr. Smith. I really think we weren't a great defensive team because of the scheme we were doing. We were trying to play fast. And I think,
Trey. I apologize, but I was tied up in the studio. But listen, I caught the tail end of what Dr. Smith was saying. But he and you're right, Trey. You don't know how to figure this thing out. Nobody does. I kind of sit back now and wonder who made all these decisions with these players and who thought it was going to be the next dream team off the bench. Who didn't sit back and say, let me look at this from a personality's point of view. Let me see how this works with these young cats and this older cat here, the age difference being so big. Is he really the dream player to have on this team? All these things. And is this the year to start, and then hopefully we can shuffle and build next year? If we can come up with getting close to the championship this year, it'd be great. I don't know. But here's the reality is somebody, whoever did this, to me, had one thing in mind. If I get LeBron, I can win. Next year, if I can get another super player, I can win, and I'd be the dominant force again. But it just ain't cutting out like the way it should. Y'all go ahead.
Awesome, awesome. Go ahead on, Trey.
Shoot, I ain't got to say much. Y'all hitting it right on the head. Y'all. The confusion is me. I just expected more out of a superstar in the league, Dr. Smith. And my comparison is with my favorite player in the world, and that's Kobe. Kobe or Mike didn't have a team this talented. And, you know, people look at the Lakers team like they are teams full of nobody, but it's a lot of talent there, Dr. Smith. And Kobe or Mike didn't have those pieces. And they won with the pieces they had.
And I think one of the things to add with it, Trey, they may have talent, but it's not proven. And what we're going to have to accept, and we're going to move to our next topic, is that everybody was shocked about the trade, the 10-day trade. People, New Orleans, didn't think they was good enough, and they have some proving to do. So my point, they may be talented, but they're going to have to step up and take it another level. But do you want to go through this next year? They may start pounding. That was my problem. They pounding like little boys. And if you want to go through, you're going to have to make some moves to get people in there mature enough and keep one or two or three of them to help you out. But otherwise, to keep them boys and say they was talented enough to do this and talent, they talent, but they just wasn't mature enough. And that's why they get in the game. You watch the game like doing that. I be, oh, dang, they got a chance. Next thing you know, about third quarter, everybody shut down. Everybody like they don't know. And coaching, I don't see it. So my point is changes has to be made, and we're going to have to kind of move forward. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192, and we're going to see what they're going to do with the Lakers in this offseason. I was just giving a plan in case you can't get all those players you think you want. You, it's other players that you can mess with LeBron. And be good at. That's why I use Draymond, because he's willing to go along because he ain't going to be the one asking for all the money. But you got room for a max player that's willing to say, because everybody now, nobody want to play with LeBron. So you got to find some players that are willing. You got Walker. You got your other boy at New Orleans or Memphis. He wanted to come there, and he's a guard, and he needs a whatever they combo. Those are the kind of players you got to get in there with LeBron. It's better than what he had at Cleveland. If he could get that those kind of players I'm talking about right now, they gonna be broken up. I'm telling you, they can't beat everybody with three players, because Draymond meant something, and Cousin coming there means something. Once those players is out of there, because they leaving, they not staying. And if KD leave and leave the Splash Brothers, they not gonna be the team that you think they gonna be. They not gonna be the team. They need those players as well. All right, let's move to Kyler Murray. We have to, and we got to talk about Kyler Murray. What you think about selection of Kyler Murray for the number one player for the 2019 draft? And then I want to add a little token to that, or add something to it. Is it media building him up to be that? Somebody that come out of the nowhere, and all of a sudden you're talking about he's going to be the number one player because of the coach at Arizona ain't one with whoever he had. All of a sudden, he in the pros, and he going to all of a sudden go, one player going to make a difference? Tell me your thoughts on that.
I'm going to say this and get my 20 cents on out the way. Kyler Murray, he did not play in the combine 2 weeks ago. He showed up and showed out today in Norman, Oklahoma in pro day. He was scripted all over the field, passing everywhere with a T-shirt on. And he showed them today that he come to play. So I think Kyler Murray is that man. I think he will, but you can't win with just one man on the field. But that's all I got. That's my 20 cent worth. Go ahead, Doc.
Hey, Darryl, your 20 cent is great. See, what everybody got to be reminded, Tremaine pretty much can vouch for this. Just because if you have an offensive lineman that's built to block in a drop back situation, they can adjust and start doing RPOs and sprint out. It's kind of hard. So I see that as a problem. If you bring Kyler Murray, he's going to be left out a lot of time by himself because those linemen used to drop him back. They cannot change it. They cannot change it. If you're saying this coach going to be Kingsbury, going to do it, he can do it at Texas Tech. So all of a sudden he's going to do it. And he was recruiting his players for his program. Trey, Lauren, add your thoughts with that if you want to.
Dr. Smith, you know I got you. I'm going to say this. I agree totally with you. Kyler Murray is not the prototype quarterback for the NFL. As you can see, the NFL is built for pocket passers. It looks as if you're not a pocket passer, you will not win the Super Bowl. I don't know what else to say about that, but if it's up to me to pick a Kyler Murray, I wouldn't pick him. Y'all can go ahead. Those are my thoughts.
Okay. All right. Lauren.
Yeah. If I had a number one pick, I definitely would not pick Kyler Murray. I watched the pro day, and Kyler Murray looked amazing with nobody else on the field. So I wouldn't pick a number one. I wouldn't pick a number two, and I wouldn't pick a number three. Just saying, it's guys that are better than him that I think could turn your franchise around, especially Nick Bosa. I think on the defensive side, I think I would pick him first. And then picking Kyler Murray, what are you saying about Josh Rosen? Josh Rosen had 1 year. In my opinion, he had 1 year with a not superb offensive line. So now we got to say, okay, are you just saying we're going to give guys 1 year, and if you're not good at the next guy, look? Because think about it. You got Josh Rosen coming into his second year. You get Kyler Murray. What if you repeat the same thing over again with Kyler Murray? You've lost 2 years, basically. You can't do that. Just because this guy's all hype, that's good, amazing. Let him go to the Giants. Let them be all hyped in New York. But don't go out here and waste your number one pick on basically starting over, because that's exactly what it is. You're going to be starting over. You're a new coach. Build with Josh Rosen. Don't start over with Kyler Murray. Build with Josh Rosen. You might get Larry Fitzgerald back. I think you will get him back. Build with that. Let somebody else get Kyler and build with him. Let's not be greedy. I think it's just about being greedy. And I think that's what Arizona's about to be greedy if they get Kyler Murray.
And what precedent are they setting? Because last year you moved from 15 to 10 to get Josh Rosen. Because he'll be set in with your offense. You cannot convert that offense like everybody think they can when you already have it set in stone, all right, where's a drop back set. I keep saying it don't work that way. And you take other teams that might can work with him, you know, but it's so amazing, and we're going to move to our next topic because Lauren kind of hit on both of them. Why was last year, and everybody can, you can say what you want to say, can't throw the ball. Why? Because when he threw it for 5,000 yards 1 year and 4,000 yards the next year. Why last year when you had a quarterback that ran out of the pocket, moved around, said he wasn't good enough to be quarterback? But this person, you sit up, he's pinpoint passes all the time. And I'm going to throw this out at you. Y'all can think about it. Hell, anybody could be pinpoint against the Big 12? Them defense don't check nobody. What are you talking about when you say he's throwing pinpoint passes, people open? Yeah, they open all the time because they ain't playing no defense. And we know it in the Big 12. So why are we doing this? But I think the pundits and the talking head have promoted this because it went from, you know, whether he's going to play football or play basketball, and all of a sudden everybody think, I'll draft him out there. That's all I hear all the time. I wouldn't, because you need help on the offensive line. You need to have a defensive surgeons out there so they can surge and force people in a situation so Rosen can be in a situation. I just don't understand that. It's a dysfunctional organization, Arizona Cardinals, and they're not going to be, to me, successful. All right, let's move to Antonio Brown, but our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Let's look at Antonio Brown. Did he win or lose with this trade? Did he win or lose? I didn't say Pittsburgh. I want to know what Antonio Brown did. Did he win or lose? AB, did he win or lose?
Get your thoughts on for him, Dr. Smith. I got
it's a win.
It's a win, Dr. Smith. Uh-huh. He was ready to get out of Pittsburgh, so I didn't think it mattered where he went. So I think he won with that.
Okay.
The psyche is everything to a player. If your psyche is all thrown off, you're not going to be able to perform at any level. So the best thing for him to do was to dip on that and move to the next level, wherever he goes. Like Trey said, the King, when your psyche is not there, when you're just not there anymore, and mentally, then you don't need to be there physically. That's me.
And the organization seemed to be a little dysfunctional. Everybody wanted to blame it all on AB, want to blame it on Le'Veon Bell. But the point is, the organization was a little dysfunctional. Some of the things that was going on, when you have a general manager calling grown men kids, I have a problem with that. That's one word I learned as an educator. You don't use it, even talking about children. Kids relate to goats. Children relate to people. So for a so-called general manager said Rosenberg had 52 kids under him. That's foolish, man. That's your management now. So that whole organization have a problem, which I think that those guys got out when they had a chance. And I really think by going to Oakland, people can say what they would Derek Carr, but if you give him a weapon, he got a chance to throw to it. But if he ain't got no weapon, he's going to be running for his life. It's just the bottom line here. Then you can only be successful if you put it in. I know everybody says, well, the Raiders, L.A. Raiders, whatever they are, you sit up and you talk about, well, then what's Gruden doing? Gruden seemed like making pretty good moves to get people in there to have that and save money and get the right people in to be successful. So that's an excellent move for AB. He won. I think the Steelers lost at this, even though they can draft and get a future. What they got, a third round and a fifth round, a second round and a fifth round. That's, you know, really, and Amari Cooper got a first round. Come on now. First round, but you were so dysfunctional, third and fifth round. So it was so dysfunctional, and everybody was, they was just trying to get AB out of there, but AB won this situation. We're going to applaud. Laura, you have any thoughts on that?
Nah, AB won. Anytime a man wants to get out of somewhere, he's going to find a way, and he did. And I think the Raiders are a good pickup.
Exactly. And I agree with all of y'all and your thoughts in regards to that. Now we're going to look at Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon decided he wasn't going to participate this year, gave up on $14 million. But if you see the contract that he signed, he got $35 guaranteed. However, he still is right about $13 million. But that tells you it might not have been all about the money. And tell me what y'all think about that with Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell. I don't think it was all about the money. That's the way I feel, but tell me your thoughts on it.
Le'Veon was in the same boat as Brown to me, Dr. Smith. He was looking for a way out, too. Something was going on in the Pittsburgh locker room, whether they say it or not. But for him to sit out a whole season is a problem, Dr. Smith. And to give up that money, to give up the franchise tag, I mean, I think there's something is going on in that locker room.
Yep. You're right.
And you know
Right.
And you know it is because, you know, and I think it'll come out sooner or later, what really happened. Once everybody has settled down, the story will get told. And surprisingly, it hadn't been told now. But the reality is that I think he knew he had to go. And sometimes these players look down the road. And right now with the paycheck, let's look down the road for the paycheck. And I think Le'Veon did just that. With that move he made. Back to you, Doc.
He signed with the Jets, so he got a chance to help Sam Darnold, because people can say what they want to. This ain't the Giants and Saquon Barkley. Le'Veon is a whole different ball player. He's a receiver. He's truly an athlete. He will help a quarterback. Going to help them in the running game. Going to help them in the passing game. So I see that. That's going to improve them. It helps your offensive line. All of that develops, you know, because you have a good back back there, plus catching the ball at the backfield. You're going to have to – linebacker's going to have to stand up and make sure he's not touching the ball before they can back up and slide back like they was doing last year. So that's a plus for Le'Veon to get to the Jets. So we'll kind of – keep an eye on them making some. They won't make the giant great step, but I don't think Sam Darnold will be throwing as many interceptions as he threw last year, because he'll have something, a weapon that's going to help him get himself in a better situation. And the last trade we want to talk about, there are some other people on there, but we want to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. Tell me what you think. Just tell me, team, what you think. I don't even go in no discussion with that. Tell me what you think about the Giants trading him to the Cleveland Browns.
I think if I may say real quick, as my 2 cents on this, I ain't going to even go 20 cents. My two cents is this. The Brown becomes Super Bowl contenders now. I think that's what happens with the Browns. And that's my 2 cents on that.
Okay. Yes, sir. I agree totally right there with Darryl. The Browns are instant contender with that move, and people ain't realized they got Kareem Hunt too. So they got two big moves in the offseason. So I think the Browns are an instant contender.
Exactly. And I would agree. The only problem I have is it takes everybody to be able to do there. They got the players on paper, but the coaching, I don't care what nobody said. These first-year coaches and putting a staff together to be able to put them in them positions. Come on now, let's keep it real. New England Patriots ain't there because of having the greatest players. They have the greatest coach and coaches. So the point is, Freddie Kitchens is not going to be the one, and that's going to be the biggest concern I have. I have nothing by paper seeing all those great names on there, but I do have a problem with the coaching because it is unproven. So that's something we need to kick it out. I'll give them a chance to win the North, but I can't give them that point to win that Super Bowl, to the Super Bowl, just because of the coaching. If it was a mature staff, I could see. But you don't have that, and in the NFL, you got to have somebody that can put them X's and O's together. And that's one of the things I'm concerned with the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, they got all the people on paper. I love to see them names and those people, but I can tell you, making the right decision, have the right staff, and making the right calls and coordinators and all, defense, offense, takes a lot to get you beyond those other teams that have the same kind of talent you have as well. So we'll keep an eye on that. Lori, you got any thoughts in regards to that?
No, just going to let y'all know right here in March, I'm being at some Cleveland games. I got to see this air kick. I got to see Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham line up and go after Baker Mayfield balls. That's all I got.
Exactly. We know it can be thrown. We know they can catch it. We just want to see exactly how they're going to be able to do when they get to the X's and O's. So we look forward to seeing an outstanding. We still got the trades going on, the blockbuster free agents still going on, where the free agents going on, and we'll have more for you. We got several other players here. We have Earl Thomas, who today I found out signed a blockbuster contract. Mark Ingram was out there, and he might be in. Most of these could have happened the time we started with our show, but it's been happening all day because 4 o'clock was the time that left it for the tampering, the free tampering time. Golden Tate, Ndamukong Suh, Ha Ha Clinton Dix, those are some of the noticeable names that we have out there. So we look forward to seeing some awesome things happening in the NFL this fall, as well as some changes in the NBA. I just look for some things to happen going toward the playoffs. We'll talk about it next week. We're going to see exactly where we are. You know, we got a couple months before they go, about 15 games to go. Cause we kind of say, matter of fact, and I'll just throw this plug in. I checked the Lakers won their first game since All-Star break last night. Correct, Trey?
Correct, Dr. Smith.
Correct. They won their first game. So now they've been in other games, but they just seem to choke. They just seem to choke. But they won last night, so that's good. Even though, you know, they lost to the Hawks, but they beat Chicago last night. So that's what we got going on. Now, the last thing we're going to talk about before we close this thing out is some of the Florida High School Athletic Association champions. And in Florida, they got 9 classes. And I'm just going to run off some of the names and we'll get ready to close the show out. And I want everybody to just share some thoughts before we get out of here. And we'll be ready to go with our show next week. In the boys, in the 1A, you have Madison County. This is Florida High School Athletic Association. 2A, you have Central Florida Christian. You have 3A, St. John Paul III. 4A, Westminster Academy. 5A, Nova Southeastern University School. And that's the number one player. He's somewhere the number one player in the country is down at that school, about 6'11". I saw him play in the 10th grade 3 years ago. Saw him in the 9th grade, and I'm telling you, he's an outstanding ball player. Saw him play Carver, matter of fact, out of Montgomery. Then we have Strahan out of Fort Lauderdale, Crestview, which is 7A, Strahan is 6A, Blanche Ely, Pompano Beach. Then one out of the last 3 years is their second one. So Blanche Ely, and they have moved up in class because they were 6A, now they're 8A. And last but not least, Ocala, and they won the 9A. And the girls, Trenton won the 1A, Florida Prep won the 2A, Somerset Prep, that's North Lauderdale, down in Fort Lauderdale, won the 3A, Miami County Day, won the 4A, Oxbridge Academy out of West Palm Beach, won the 5A American Heritage down there, Plantation, actually right there in the Fort Lauderdale Sunrise area, won the 6A girls. Now, Dillard's won the 7A for Fort Lauderdale, Tampa Bay Tech won the 8A, and Waikiki 9 won the 9A. So those are the winners now. Congratulations to each one of them in Florida. And we're now at the end of the show. And each of the team, I ask you to share your thoughts before we close it out. and then we'll do what we normally do. We'll shut it down with our famous words of wisdom. Who's going to be first?
I'm going to take the lead right here and tell everybody thank you for being part of my night, and thank you for listening in. I appreciate it. And thank you so much, Dr. Smith, for allowing me to be here to add mine. Let me see. I gave 42 cents worth tonight, and I appreciate that. Y'all hold it down until the next time.
And I appreciate that 42 plus cent. Yeah, it was some awesome cents. Thank you, Darryl, for being here, and enjoy every minute of it every time. Lauren.
Yeah, this is a good show. I had a lot of fun. Glad to be back on. Can't wait for next week. Thank y'all for all the prayers and encouraging words throughout my rehab. It's really been a trying time, but it's also been a blessing to know that people out here are rooting for you. So I thank y'all for that, and I'm going to see y'all next week.
Awesome, awesome. Glad to have you back, Lauren. Ended up dropping Trey on the line, so he would want to say something, but he didn't call back in, and he's trying to call back in, but we're about to close it out. As I said, the hashtag is keep on grinding. That's the hashtag, keep on grinding. And also hashtag communicate for understanding. But last but not least, as we get ready to close the show, which we will have a show on Tuesday, we won't have the show for Friday, which is Ball with the Doc, because I'm going up to check out the SWAC tournament so we can get a good, thorough report next week. On Tuesday at 7 o'clock, the Dr. Lowe Show, the real relationship guru, will be on here on Tuesday night talking relationship. And then Wednesday we'll come back with talking sports play. So you have an awesome time. We really enjoy it. And the team, appreciate what you do. We want to let them know you're an outstanding team, and I appreciate you taking time to be a part of this. And I love each and every one of you all. You know, as I said in my hashtag, you know, we always communicate for understanding, and that's what number four. But as we close the show out, I hope everybody take care of themselves and be back with us on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time with the Dr. Lowe Show on relationship. You have an awesome night, and we want to continue to say that, you know, the best days are ahead of us. And we want to make sure we talk about how good those days is. But, you know, things may be happening. We don't have on the rights to the music, and it's entitled one song, Over It Now. And we all encounter. And I just want to say, I love you. There ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night.
Crying night. So many hours, trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power. You ignored all my tears in the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go, but I guess you just don't want to know. Knowledge that I've gained. just dropped off of me, but you just don't. I tried to tell you, I tried to show you, but let me tell you how I feel right now. I want you to know that I'm over. You can't hurt me no more, cause I'm over it now. Anybody feel like I feel? Stay with me, that I'm over. That I'm a long way from where I used to be. I'm not what I'm gonna be, but I feel you just don't. Anybody know what I'm talking about this evening?